From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Wednesday, May 3rd. Coming up, we hear about the important work of school psychologists and the limitations of their jobs during a time experts are calling a youth mental health crisis. That story from Maria Gardner-Lara in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Two dozen employees at the Illinois House Speaker's office are demanding voluntary union recognition, but the Speaker's office isn't giving it. Alex Degman reports.
They formed the Illinois Legislative Staff Association, pointing to low pay, rigid work environments, and other grievances. General Assembly employees are carved out of collective bargaining laws, so the Illinois Labor Relations Board, which oversees those laws, doesn't have jurisdiction. But the state constitution's new Workers' Rights Amendment allows all workers to unionize. Dr. Robert Bruno, a professor of labor and employment relations at the U of I, says this is uncharted territory.
There would seem to necessitate perhaps another body to administer this. Otherwise, you're going into court.
The Speaker's office won't voluntarily recognize the union, but says it won't stand in their way if they seek other legal remedies. I'm Alex Degman.
Some Chicago area gun shop owners say sales are up after Illinois' ban on assault-style firearms was blocked by a Southern District judge last week. Claire Lane has more.
Roger Kroll owns Our Guns in suburban Carpentersville. He says when the injunction came out, his phone started ringing right away. By Saturday,
I want to say overly crazy, but, you know, we were all working really hard.
Kroll says the state now has to, quote, play defense to unblock the ban, but he expects sales on assault rifles to continue until then.
The more the government wants to take things away, the more people want to come out and buy these things. I personally would prefer just to have a normal business and go about our thing. But you look at, for an example, Prohibition. What did Prohibition do? Everybody went and started drinking.
The ruling comes after requests to block the ban were denied by two federal judges in northern Illinois. Claire Lane, WBEZ News.
A Chicago jury yesterday convicted four former ComEd executives and lobbyists who were on trial for bribing ex-Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Amanda Schnitker-Sayers was a member of the jury that found the four defendants guilty on all counts. She says she and her fellow jurors hope the guilty verdict sends a message to public officials.
We are hoping that this is a first step so that Illinois can function better. We did talk about how this is trying to clean up corrupt acts within politics and hopefully set a better stage for future legislation.
Defense attorneys argued during the trial that it's just politics as usual to give jobs and contracts to Madigan and Associates while ComEd had major legislation pending. But Schnitker-Sayers said what the defendants did wasn't normal lobbying, and the defense's argument, quote, did not sit well with jurors. Environmental activists were in Springfield yesterday to lobby against the development of carbon dioxide pipelines in Illinois. The pipelines capture CO2 from ethanol and fertilizer plants, then transport it and store it as a liquid underground. Galesburg Mayor Peter Schwartzman says the pipelines are inherently dangerous given the risk of gas leaking out if there's a rupture.
We need very strict regulations on them to ensure that no one is put in harm's way. And given the technology is so new, that doesn't exist at this time.
State lawmakers have proposed a measure that would prohibit companies from using eminent domain to install pipelines on private farmland. Navigator CO2 wants to build a pipeline spanning 13 counties in western and central Illinois. Still to come, school psychologists play critical roles, but they're in short supply. That story from Maria Gardner-Lara is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, flooding in the Quad Cities and a dust storm in central Illinois. We'll have the latest on our recent hazardous weather phenomenon. Plus, the history of a racist high school mascot in Pekin, Illinois. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. Nationally, there's a shortage of school psychologists at a time that experts call a youth mental health crisis. Maria Gardner-Lara spoke with one school psychologist to learn about the critical role they play in the school day and also the limits to the job.
Dr. Kaisina Jones is a school psychologist at Glenbard South High School in Glen Ellyn. Her office has Happy Halloween spelled out in gummy letters on the door window.
One kid, like a couple weeks ago, was like, it's not Halloween. It's like, maybe not for you. It's always Halloween for me. Thanks.
Jones says students enjoy how she decorates her office with a blue calming accent wall. She says before the pandemic, some students were already managing low-level anxiety and low self-esteem. Since the pandemic, students' mental health has gotten worse.
And then all of a sudden, that grows. And what may not have become an issue had things stayed status quo, all of a sudden has become a clinical issue where, okay, they would benefit from ongoing therapy.
So how do school psychologists support students? She says across all districts, a major role school psychologists continue to play is helping identify and evaluate students who may need special education services. Joan's calendar is an array of pinks, oranges, greens, and yellows.
I usually have a plan, and then you get to school and things happen.
She consults with teachers and conducts academic, behavioral, and social-emotional interventions. For instance, she does what she calls academic stalking.
Going through all their grades, all their classes, their work completion, their attendance, and kind of prompting them on, oh, I see we didn't do well on this last test. What can we do about that? What are our next steps?
She's also available when students have more immediate needs.
We're in tears. What's going on? What can we do? I want some strategies to kind of reset ourselves and be able to go on with our day.
She's part of the student services team. Sometimes to reach students, they visit them at home.
And we'll come and we talk to a student. We're like, hey, we care about you. We want to see you be successful. We want to see you at school. What do you need?
And there are limits to what a school psychologist can do. She makes referrals for therapy when challenges call for additional resources. But that often means youth are being waitlisted for services. The demand for therapy surpasses the supply.
And parents were really struggling because they're like, where can we go? My child is having thoughts of wanting to hurt themselves.
She says navigating insurance can be a hassle for families.
They say, oh yeah, just go through your insurance. Like, well, my insurance is maybe limited. Or if there are language barriers or time factors or transportation challenges, those sorts of things.
And access is even more limiting for families who can't pay out of pocket when insurance won't cover the care.
There aren't as many providers that offer sliding fee scale that will take Medicaid or accessible for those families.
More school psychologists could provide students more support early on. She's at a better off school compared to other districts, where a school psychologist may not be able to provide the range of services that she does. Jones earned her doctorate in school psychology from Northern Illinois University. Beginning in May, she'll be part of the teaching staff in a school psychologist training program held at NIU. The program aims to increase the ranks of school psychologists in districts in Northern Illinois, where they're needed the most. I'm Maria Garner Lara.
You can learn more about the school psychology training program from Maria's previous reporting at WNIJ.org. If you or a child is going through a mental health crisis, call the National Crisis Line at 988. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be sunny with a high of 65 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Claire Lane, Dave McKinney, Mawa Iqbal, and Maria Gardner-Lara. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.